Dramas present Turn the Recital into a Riot. This week's front-page drama, Turn the Recital into a Riot, is a dramatization of an amazing but most amusing true-life story of the same name. Turn the Recital into a Riot is to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. A young singer, like a prophet, usually is without honor in his own country. Seemingly one of the most difficult things in the world is to get a good-sized audience to attend a musical debut. Even such able artists as Grace Moore, Nelson Eddy, and Lawrence Tibbett can tell of discouraging attempts to fill a concert hall for their early recitals. American singers have the edge on many Europeans. Here, there is the Naumburg Foundation, an organization specifically established to give young singers the opportunity to appear before audiences in New York's Town Hall or some other music center. To top off its service to the ambitious young musicians, the Naumburg Foundation makes every effort to get as many as possible of America's ranking music critics to hear the young artist. But in Warsaw, Poland, there is no such helping hand. So when Olga Bielow decided to make her debut on the concert platform, she worked out a rather original idea. She felt sure it would bring her a rather good-sized audience. She was right. The audience came. But their reactions were quite different to what she had anticipated. But we're ahead of our story. First, let's look in on a room in one of the men's dormitories at one of Warsaw's universities.
Oh, say, Phil, would you do me a favor?
Well, if I can, what is it?
Well, you see, I had a rather hurried invitation to a formal affair tomorrow night, and if you don't mind, I'd like to borrow your full dress.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Stan, old boy. Any time but tomorrow night.
Well, what?
As a matter of fact, I have a date myself, and I'm going formal. Try Iggy here.
Iggy? Huh? What's that? Well, what'd you say? I'm so interested in this letter.
Well, Iggy, you see, I've got a rather important date. Formal tomorrow night, and, well, I'd like to borrow your dress suit.
Oh.
Phil is using his, but he thought that maybe you'd
been
using mine.
I'm sorry, Stan. I'm using mine, too. I just got this letter. See, it's right here.
Huh?
And I got to go out myself. It's strictly formal. Well, any other time,
well,
it'll be all right.
Iggy, but I have to have it tomorrow night. I guess I'll just have to rent one. I'm a little short. I've got to take a girl out after the concert.
Hey, Phil.
Hmm?
Well, did he say concert?
Yeah, it's a concert. Why?
Nothing at all. I just wanted to make sure he said concert.
Come right in, come right in. How do you do? Very good, man. What can I do for you? Full dress suit for tomorrow night, eh?
Yes, but how did you know?
Young man, I've been busy renting dress suits than a map maker trying to keep up with a new map of Europe. All day long, it's been dress suit, dress suit, dress suit. Must be new, good looking, fine fit. Always it's a feast or a famine.
Well, you're not sold out, are you?
Sold out? Abramsky's never sold out.
Oh, that's
a little low on stock, but never out. The man may be down, but never out.
Yes, indeed.
Let me see. Stand in the light, please.
Okay. You're about, 38 coats, trousers 32, legs 31. Say, that's it, right to the inch.
Abramsky's always right to the inch. Fit guaranteed. Billy,
yes.
Get a dress suit, 38
coming out. Just in time, Papa. That's the last one.
There, see? What did I tell you?
There.
Look here. Isn't this just a little bit, out of date? I mean,
out of date? Hey, Elliot, listen to that. This is the most priceless piece of wardrobe in the entire shop, young man. Do you realize this once belonged to one of the Grand Dukes of Russia?
Really?
It's a fake. He left it with me as he was passing through after the revolution. Nice fellow he was, too. It was brand new. He never even had a chance to wear it.
I know, but you see the
color. Don't say it. I'm surprised at a man of your education, a college boy. Didn't you know all the Grand Dukes were partial to a greenish shade of black?
I know, but the green
it's
is...
a very difficult black. The daylight, of course, accentuates it. But at night, it's rich looking. And listen, just because I like you, I'll throw in the scarlet sash. Get the sash, Elliot.
Yes, sir.
That sash goes with it also. You look like a prince.
Oh.
Why, if I had a daughter, believe me,
I'll take it.
And so the young student, somewhat bewildered at being the victim of the sudden rush on rented dress suits, hurried home with his prize. The next night, he dressed and made his way to one of Warsaw's largest concert halls. Two of the city's music critics watched him take his seat.
Oh, look. There's another one. Full dressed and red rose bud in his buttonhole.
You're right. There's definitely something up. I've never seen anything like it before.
I noticed the scarcity of women in the house. Why, it's practically an all-male audience. What do you make of that?
It's beyond me. If it was Flagstad, Corgis, or Moore, or someone like that, I could well understand it. But this practically unknown soprano certainly is strange.
Hmm. And despite a sprinkling of middle-aged men, the majority of those chaps are college students.
Right. And no end of rented dress suits among them. Well, it's been good for the dress suit dealers and the florists. I'll bet there's hardly a red rosebud left in Warsaw.
Well, thank you, Ellen, the kind sister of Dr. Mitchell. Mademoiselle Bilo.
Well, the recital began and moved along fairly well. The singer was a rather attractive girl and sang fairly well. The male portion of the audience endured Mademoiselle Bilo's singing with as little fidgeting as possible. And at the intermission, there was a hurried rush to the lobby. The men in tails paced back and forth feverishly, expectantly, anxiously eyeing every one of the few women, when suddenly our young student friend Philip sighted his roommate Sam in his rented dress suit and scarlet sash.
Well, well, well. If it isn't the Grand Duke Stanislaus.
Oh, now, Phil.
May I ask what brings your highness here?
Now, don't rub it in. You must know why I'm here in this get-up. It's because I came here to meet a lady. He suggested I dress like this so we'd know each other.
Oh, I see. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Did you read this ad in the personal column of the Gazette?
Gazette?
Wealthy, good-looking young lady intending to settle in Warsaw. Seek interesting young gentleman companion?
Well, no, I didn't see it in the Gazette, but I answered that same ad in the Chronicle.
Uh-huh, and she replied asking you to come to this concert where she could have the opportunity to get acquainted?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Hello,
hello, you two.
Oh, hello, Iggy.
Hello, Iggy.
I thought I recognized you. Say, listen, have you been caught in this blind date ruse, too?
Absolutely, and all those fellas, too.
Don't tell me that you answered that same ad.
Pardon my silence, gentlemen. Wait a minute, huh? May I have a word? I'm the music critic of the Gazette.
Well, yes?
How do you do?
I couldn't help overhearing your conversation, to say nothing of noticing your unusual get-up at a concert with you, and I think I can clear up some mystery. Very well, gentlemen. It's my guess that the mysterious, wealthy, good-looking young lady who inserted that come-on ad in the personal columns of all the papers...
Yeah?
And so charmingly suggested that you meet her here at this concert to get acquainted, is none other than Mademoiselle Bilo.
What?
But why?
No, what reason would she have?
Because, my dear little adolescent, she knew it would be a very good way to draw a crowd to her concert debut and make it look as though she's a good attraction.
Why, the dirty little schemer.
Well, now, mind you,
hey,
imagine
this trick has cost me a month's allowance. Are you sure about that?
Hey, can you imagine? I rent a delivery chauffeur and limousine and a table at the Trocadero. I'm
going
to go...
Come on, gentlemen, don't do anything, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the second half of my program, I'm...
Give us back our money! We've been swindled! Get back that refund our money!
Gentlemen, please let me explain. Oh, please let me explain to you. Oh, please let me. Oh, Jan, how could you forgive me? I tricked them into coming, but they found out. I put personal ads in the papers, leading them on with letters to meet me here, without telling them why.
You've been very foolish and stupid. Oh. However, I'll try to settle it. Oh. I'll go out and talk.
Gentlemen, quiet, please, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, my wife has just informed me of a rather unfortunate circumstances surrounding your presence.
Please,
Listen to me. Just a moment, gentlemen. I assure you, had I been informed beforehand, this scene would not have been necessary.
Oh, why don't we do something about it?
Bear with me a moment, please, gentlemen. However, I will make full restitution.
We want money back!
You will get your money back. You will. Quiet, please. Now, if you will line up at the box office, I will personally refund your money.
How much expense is this dress suit?
Gentlemen, please. Everything will be repaid.
Everything?
Yes.
Everything.
All you gentlemen who hire dress clothing will be repaid.
Wow!
Now, just line up at once, please.
Like many a wealthy man who has held the bag for his daughter's or wife's impossible aspirations to fame and fortune on the concert stage, Mr. Below reflected afterwards that maybe it was worth the price if it put an end to such goings-on. Now, Madame Below sings only to her baby and never when her husband is home. Now that the episode is over, the young men who were taken over by the promise of adventure and romance in the agony column consider the incident a joke and a good laugh on themselves. They have vowed that they will never answer another unsigned advertisement. At present, Warsaw's Bachelor Brigade is concentrating on girls whose background they know. You have just heard the front page drama entitled Turn Their Recital Into a Riot, a dramatization of an article of the same name. You will find this and many other interesting articles in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the greatest enjoyment in the many fine articles and feature fiction by the world's best writers in every issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Page Dramas presents The Sultan of Zanzibar.
Would you mind if I interrupt this program to bring our listeners an announcement of unusual interest concerning a feature beginning in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly?
Not at all, especially if it is about the new series of front covers of The American Weekly by the renowned American artist James Montgomery Flagg.
You've guessed it. This Sunday, the first of seven lovely paintings for the great American artist, James Montgomery Flagg, appears in full color on the front cover of the American Weekly. Each of the paintings is a tribute to Cooking Around America. We owe a great deal to the pioneer women of the early days of the nation. They gave America a heritage of traditional dishes, a cooking of wide variety. The preparation of these typical American dishes provided the inspiration for Flagg's delightful series of seven paintings. Each is devoted to a favorite regional dish of a geographical division of this country. And for the next 7 weeks, the pictures will be reproduced in full color on the front page of the American Weekly. In addition, these works of art will be accompanied by easy-to-follow recipes supplied by prominent women who know how to prepare and cook regional delicacies. I feel sure that every woman listening to this program will want to save the excellent recipes and the